Hi, and welcome to the SEO podcast, Unknown Secrets of Internet Marketing. My name is Chris Burris, owner of eWeb Results.
I am Charles Lewis, your client results advocate.
Welcome back to another fun-filled edition of our podcast. This is podcast number 332 in a long series of podcasts.
Yeah, it's
approximately like 332 episodes long.
Approximately 4 years long. How about that?
Yeah, it's some time. As always, we do have a tip from our previous podcast, and our tip is include an excerpt from a blog post in your newsletter.
Yeah, you want to make sure that first off you're blogging and share that content. Then take that small excerpt, put it in your newsletter. Why? So they can click and read more and they can get back to the website. Repurpose that content.
As always, please remember we are filmed live here in Houston, Texas. We'll put the library voice on.
Yeah.
And we are your friendly local neighborhood top position snatchers. And our mantra is,
do not be a douche.
Don't be a douche. It is not a good look for you or anyone around you.
Yeah.
So don't be a douche. We have an excellent article today, and that article is
10 factors that may be impacting your organic traffic. Man, young lady Stephanie Levon and the good folks over at Search Engine Land posted this article, 10 factors that may be impacting your organic traffic.
We'll be covering all 10 factors here in just a minute with our input.
Yeah, of course.
Hey, if you have some sort of electronic device and you're in a position to, and we know you probably are, we'd ask
you're
you to
watching on that device right now.
Yeah. Tweet. And what you could tweet is,
tweet us at Best SEO Podcast at eWeb Results. Be sure to use the hashtag SEO Podcast. This is number 332. That way we can follow you back and do all of our social networking
stuff.
Stay
connected. Mm-hmm. Hey, if this is the first time you've listened to the podcast, howdy.
Glad to have you.
Welcome from Houston, Texas. It's good to see you. If you've listened to this podcast, then you'll notice two things. One, I do not have a tear tattoo.
Yep.
We do, in fact, have a review. And you're going to notice that we're going to skip a section because we had quite a few followers.
I just got tired of following back.
Yes,
I followed back probably 20 people, and I was like, okay, I'm going to have to catch the rest of these another time.
A little bit later. Yeah, I think it was 50 plus on the best SEO
podcast. So I was almost halfway through. Okay.
Yeah. 50 plus. So because we got more than 10 psychos.
Yeah, psychos, shares, likes, and follows.
On our platforms, and we got a review, then we don't tell you how to do a review. I am going to cheat a little bit. Because these reviews have helped us. I've been kind of steering people that I have conversations with over to Stitcher. Stitcher, we got kind of a bad rep, frankly, because our feed broke.
Yeah.
Which is not, shouldn't have been, resulted in bad
quality of the, you know, our content is good.
Yeah.
The technology messed up.
Yeah.
And, but
no,
anyway.
It was me. Well, I appreciate you calling me technology.
He messed up the technology.
Yeah. So so we're still trying to get that fixed. The easiest way to help us out there is leave us a review on Stitcher. It's super easy. Just go to ewebresults.com/SEO podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see the Stitcher icon in the middle of the kind of, I think it's
next to iTunes, next to Podomatic.
Exactly. And then when you get there, just leave us a review. I won't, you know, that's the only cheating I'm going to do. We will also let you know how to shyko us,
yes.
And that is again
a share, a like, and a follow.
All three of those, and you can do those on all of our platforms, or they're not our platforms, they're all the platforms that we participate in.
Yeah, there you go.
Such,
mind you, that's what I've been trying to teach my kids that. Like,
right.
Dude, you do not own Twitter.
It is not your Facebook.
It yeah, not you do it on there.
Yeah. You don't even own your profile. Right?
Exactly.
That's just not how it works. You can connect with us on our profiles at facebook.com/eWebResults, twitter.com/eWebResults, youtube.com/eWebResults, Instagram.com/eWebResults, and LinkedIn.com/company/eWebResults. All of those will take you to our profiles and shyko us there.
Share, like, and follow, comment, throw that in there also.
Hey, if you're a PHP genius or a WordPress guru, we have a process for having you join our team. It starts with an audio resume. Call us, 713-510-7846. If you're interested in a free comprehensive website analysis,
keyword comprehensive.
You can get that. We've made it super easy. All you need to do is go to eWebResults.com. And what color is that button?
It's like eWeb green.
It's eWeb green. You cannot miss it. It says free website analysis. Click it and fill out the form, and we will make contact with you, have a conversation with you to make sure that the webinar is really going
down the path that you expect.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that we're looking at the right competitors, that you have the right target in mind for you when we do the webinar. So that way you can actually get some value from it instead of some just kind of off random report about how good or bad your website is.
Exactly. Let's see what's next. Do we have any algo cat?
No algo cat.
We do not have the favorite segment of the day, the algorithm cataclysm. We will skip that and we will go directly into unless you've got something. You got some news, all right?
Yes, I got some. I got plenty of good news.
All right.
So let's talk search engine news, right?
Right.
Punch in the face to Bing.
Boom.
Right? So Bing's ad revenue, ad meaning Google, Bing Ad Center and things that they do to charge people for clicks, Bing ad revenue up 16%. And 40% of that revenue was from Windows 10 users, which I expected that. Let me take this time to say, I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Because what I realized was that as I've been going through analytics every month, all of the reports I looked at for the month of July all had at least a 20% increase in Bing traffic and Bing conversions.
Wow.
And that's not even just from Bing ads. That's from just Bing being used more in general. Here's why.
Cortana. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So not only is Bing the default search engine for Microsoft Edge, it's the default search engine for Cortana. And while you can change the search engine for Edge,
that's going to be a pain in the ass.
Well, Microsoft got it locked. You can't change it for Cortana.
Oh.
She uses Bing, and that's what it is.
Wow. So, well, and you can kind of make sense of that because how you communicate with a search engine, Bing might be different than how you. It's not true, but could be different than how you would search with the
No, if I'm Bing, I get it. Yeah, I'm just defaulting to Bing. Yeah, we got to do that.
Very interesting.
And so our clients, I believe, are seeing that.
Yeah.
That change. Some more news. Punch in the face to Yahoo. I think it's a good deal for both Yahoo and Verizon.
Right.
Right. So Yahoo got acquired by Verizon for nearly $5 billion in cash.
$5 billion.
Which sounds like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It is a lot. Right. But it's not really a lot when you consider, that Yahoo used to be way worth more than $5 billion.
Oh,
closer to $100 billion.
Yeah.
And so the fact that they sold for $5 billion in cash, that you know how far they dropped, and the fact that Verizon got $5 billion in cash shows you how far they came.
Yeah.
Right? In 2015, Verizon acquired AOL. So dig this. With future plans for Yahoo involving integrating it with AOL.
Right.
Think that's going to put Verizon in the interesting competitive position for search and all kind of other stuff.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. And last bit of news is Facebook's advertising revenue skyrocketed to $6.2 billion, an amazing 63% increase compared to the same quarter last year. And mobile was the biggest driver of that. Facebook ads going up. I'm trying to tell you. They said they got 1.7 billion active daily users.
Well, their algorithm changed to drop businesses out of feeds in a significant way.
And so that's the business. You have to pay for this.
You want FaceTime with your people.
I was trying to explain that to my wife. I was like, no, the algorithm changed. And so now you're going to see more stuff from your friends and family and stuff that I liked and this and that. And so brands and businesses,
got to pay for it.
Got to pay for that.
You're going to see more sponsored ads is what you're going to see.
Exactly.
I mean, not relative to your friends and family, but interesting.
Indirectly, because the way the Facebook ads work, I'm going to target people who've liked this, who did this, who did that. And that sponsored ad could very well also say, liked by your cousin or your husband or your wife,
you know what I'm saying?
Because it's similar. So I can dig it.
A little bit of news that I have. Last day for Windows 10 upgrade.
That's today?
Yeah, that's today. One of them, and so do it before midnight if you're going to do it. And I think you got to get to the registration process. So do that. One article I read made the point that you could upgrade and then downgrade and your license would be valid.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I don't know why you would do that, but I
know. Like in case some feature doesn't work or something.
Or all your programs stop working.
Yeah. that might be a reason. I don't know. They made the point that you do need to downgrade within 30 days. There's a password software called LastPass that they identified a vulnerability. It was related to a plugin in Chrome, and they said complete remote access to your passwords was how was described.
See, and I ain't gonna mention our client name who uses LastPass.
Yeah.
He just asked me if I use LastPass when they were giving me credentials the other day. I was like, no, we use PassPack.
Yeah.
We haven't had no problems with that. And
fingers crossed, because you're like, what else are you going to do? Like, we're not memorizing all these passwords.
Yeah, exactly.
Writing them down doesn't work. Yeah, so it's very interesting. So if you do use LastPass, make sure everything's up to date.
Yeah, go update your stuff. Go disable some stuff if you got to. And so probably change some passwords.
Have you played Pokemon Go yet? Nope. Do you even have not installed or anything? Nope. I was at a friend of mine.
No intentions on it whatsoever.
A friend of mine who had it, and he was playing with a Darren. You've met Darren before. Yeah, he's not like big into it, but like he had a party, so he was sitting at the bar and had it running, and then found one, and you know, just interesting.
That's a brilliant idea for them.
Yeah.
Phenomenal marketing. Like, yeah. I totally get it. I just won't be participating.
How soon are there going to be like Pizza Hut Pokemons in there?
It's going to be all of that. Yeah. It's coming soon. Like, yeah. As soon as I seen it, I was like, okay, yeah, if I'm a big brand, I need to create my own Pokemons that people can go find.
Remember the old Domino's character? The little... Yeah.
Noid or yeah, whatever
Noid,
his name
avoid
was.
The Noid.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's great strategy.
Yeah. Apparently playing Pokemon 16s got stranded on an island when the tide came up. They were out there trying... Anyway... we're just gonna have like wacky things. I feel like you're the point I made to Darren the other day was like, I feel like you're not a true Pokemon until you've been injured or have some amazing story to tell. Otherwise, you're just at your bar playing. That doesn't count.
No, you got to go do something.
Yeah,
I'm just shot punching in the face to Pokemon Go for actually getting people outside.
Yeah, I think that's good. And then this is just interesting. Jeff Bezos of Amazon fame is the third richest person on the planet. So,
oh boy, Amazon.
Yeah.
Well, that's about right.
Kudos to him. You know, he's run a lean ship. They do so much, and the profit margins are so thin.
Yeah, I still don't quite get it. Shout out to all the Prime members who obviously put him in that position.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I don't know how, because as a Prime member, everything is almost free.
Yeah, it feels like I feel guilty ordering this.
Yeah, but
oh well. Take advantage of it while you can. All right, so we got two reviews. Mm-hmm. You have any punches in the face?
I do got some punch in the face.
All right.
You want to get to those? This punch in the face goes to Gene Axelrod. He hit us up on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
You may have talked to him. He says, at E-Web Results, I love the energy guys. Charles sounds like Samuel L.
Oh.
On the podcast.
Okay.
I could dig that. I wish I had a Samuel L.
Paycheck to go with the voice.
Well, I was just going to say impersonation, but paycheck would be way better. And it's probably not appropriate to give you my my Silence of the Lambs impression, because this is my favorite Samuel L. movie. But yeah, I'm going to let that one pass.
Yeah. We'll let that one slide. All right, good. So that's kind of cool. Yeah, Gene, I did speak with him or something. I can't remember exactly, but yeah, I'll be reaching out to him shortly. Let's see, what's next? I do have a review. You don't have any more punch of the face. This review is from Thomas Langnow. And it is, of course,
five stars.
It says, I am listening to your podcast. I am listening to your podcast for 4 months now to prepare myself for a SEO manager job after finishing university. You're the only... I didn't read this one, right? You're the only non-German podcast. Yes, I am German. I am following every episode and helped me not only with presenting marketing information... but also with practicing English marketing vocabulary. Punch in the face to you guys. I do just have
to tell
you... Part
of our international audience. That's what's up, Germany.
Yeah. I do have to tell you, just I want to be clear, that punch in the face is not marketing vocabulary.
Oh, yeah. Don't go to your
don't
job and be like, I got this.
Punch in the face to you.
Yeah, that's only going to work with us.
Yeah.
You might go to jail, depending on where you say that.
Yeah. So just be careful. And yeah, punch in the face to you, Thomas. Next, this one is Jan in Shanghai.
Really international.
Yeah, okay. And it is
five stars.
It says, and I had a conversation with Jan. It said, who says learning can't be fun? Question mark. Mm-hmm. I was looking for SEO and online marketing podcasts when I came over E-Web Results, and I instantly became skeptical. Only a half hour long, and they just talk about articles from other websites. Just talk. We like that one. Nevertheless, I gave it a chance, and I'm happy I did. They go in depth into the featured articles and raise additional points, which do add value. Some of the articles they featured I've read beforehand, and I often had moments when I thought to myself, oh yeah, that is a good point, or why didn't I think of that while listening? It is obvious.
That's awesome.
It is obvious both Chris and Charles are knowledgeable, experienced, and passionate about all things online marketing. True.
Check.
It is the last point, passion, which really nails it. It makes the podcast incredibly fun and enjoyable to listen to. Even my wife, who could not care less about online marketing, likes to occasionally listen together with me, punch in the face to both of you guys. Keep up the good work. We're going to punch in the face, Jan, and punch in the face to your wife.
Yeah, that's
awesome. Thank you so much. I had a great conversation
with
Jan.
Punch in the face, Jan, and to your wife. Punch in the face to the whole LGBT community then.
Yeah.
I think that's a good assumption.
Nope.
It's not?
It is not.
So, Jan, I'm sorry, Jan.
Yeah. Jan, I'm trying to remember where he's from.
Shanghai.
No, he lives in Shanghai. I think he may be Dutch. I think he's Dutch. So, yeah.
So, is it like John?
It could be. Yeah. We have never professed to pronounce names, any of them, correctly.
The only thing I do profess is that I will likely mess your name up. Well, punch in the face to y'all. I appreciate y'all.
Yeah, thank you. Hey, so that is the potatoes of our podcast. It is now time to get into the meat. And apparently, we're going to talk about 10 factors that make impacting that. Well, I'm going to read that quickly. I'm going to just leave it. Hand it over to Chuck.
10 factors that may be impacting your organic traffic. I pulled this article from Search Engine Land. It was authored by Stephanie Levon a couple weeks ago. And so let's get back into it. The reason I pulled this article is because I look at reports all the time. And so I'm always in the Mars, right, looking at Mars reports. And depending on which week you're looking at, you may see lots of green ups or red downs or a little bit of mix of both. And so rankings always fluctuating.
Yep.
And so I wanted to figure out why. And then I came across this article, figured we'd share it with you guys. So she goes on to...
Hey, punch of the face to Dean Calhoun and Chad Touché.
Appreciate
y'all
tuning in.
Thank you guys for tuning in. That's awesome. And so we're broadcasting on Facebook.
Live on Facebook right now. And so she starts off by saying, organic search, unlike its paid counterpart, comes with a unique set of challenges in diagnosing a decline in traffic and conversions. She says there are some obvious places you can mine for insights like Google Analytics or Google Search Console, but other factors can be harder to quantify. She's absolutely right. Like anytime you experience that drop in traffic and you see it in the reports, you see it in maybe the lack of phone calls or lack of form submissions. Google Search Console and Analytics should be your first go-to source. Right, because that way, if there's any algorithmic penalty or anything like that, you will find that out really, really quickly. And from an analytics perspective, you can at least see which pages are not getting the traffic that they used to get. So, yeah, definitely start there. So she starts off with basic issues. Number one, she says your pages just aren't indexed. Interesting. Your pages aren't indexed. She says, conduct a quick Google search using site coding and then yourwebsite.com. I totally agree with that. That's still an old-fashioned way to do it, and I still do it to this day with any site. Just a good, quick, and dirty way to figure out if indeed your pages are listed in the Google index. I take it a step further and say, check your robots.txt file. Right, she mentioned that also, but check that file. Look for any individual code, like a no-index tag or something like that, on those pages. You also want to spend some time in Search Console looking at the index pages and figure out, I don't know, maybe you have some 404 errors. Maybe you have some pages that did exist that don't exist anymore that were ranking at some point in time. Or maybe you got hacked even. And so now that content just isn't the same. But the point is, if your pages aren't indexed, then that's definitely a factor that could be impacting your organic traffic.
I got to tell you a story with that. We once picked up a client. This was a number of years ago. And their biggest concern, and this is often the biggest concern with our clients, is I just want to make sure that my ranking isn't going to drop.
Yeah, I lose my ranking after you redesign.
And so we got the site. I'm not even sure we redesigned it. I said, look, don't worry because we're going to leave everything exactly the same, right? And so we left everything exactly the same. Things were going good about a weekend. We said, okay, the whole ranking and traffic has dropped.
Plummeted. Yeah.
They fell off the planet. They just disappeared. And we had no idea. We're we've never seen this before. And then we were kind of just sitting around at the office, actually having a beer, kind of the end. I was like, oh, let me check the robot text file. So the vendor that from whom we got the account had put a no follow to Google for the entire site when they turned it over.
Yeah, the previous SEO company, as they were turning the site over to us, tweak the robot's text file and not in the client's favor.
Yeah.
And we eventually caught it and made some changes, and a couple weeks later, the record came back. But man.
Yeah.
Yeah, check your robot's text file. Number two, she says bot filters, right? She says, and we're talking about 10 factors that can maybe impacting your organic traffic. Right. Impacting in a positive or a negative way, just impacting in general. She says number two is bot filters. She says, are you currently excluding all known bots and spiders in Google Analytics? If not, you may be experiencing inflated traffic metrics and not even know it. Typically, bots enter through the homepage and cascade down your site navigation, mimicking real user behavior. Except for the fact that they don't spend much time on pages. And that's there's two kind of bots, right?
So she's talking about a bot that's actually traveling your site.
Yeah, there's indexing and scanning.
And then there's the other ghosts is probably the right phrase. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's separate. I may be cutting ahead here. But then there's ghosts that go directly to Google Analytics. Never visit your site.
There's like a ghost referral.
Yeah.
Is what that kind of is. But they just managed to hit your analytics because they have random IDs that they're hitting. And if yours gets hit, that counts as a visit, even though they never really visited your website.
No one visited. Not even the bot visited your site. It's crazy.
So I would suggest that you update your filters. You should be doing exactly as you suggested and check the box that says exclude all known bots and spiders. Then take it a step further, because frankly, there's new bots, new spiders, new ghosts coming out all the time. Yeah. If I find myself updating our filters every month. Every month that I sit there and go through analytics, I find that's a bogus URL. Add that to the list, get it filtered out.
Yeah.
You just have to do it. Things to look for that, man. You're going through your kind of all traffic report under, let's say, source medium inside Google Analytics. Start looking for stuff like a free video tool or keys to success or .com and all these different kind of URLs. Those are high 100% bounce rate, no time on site. These are clear identifiers that these are just a bot, some spam bot. CMOP is another one that you just got to filter those out. And what happens?
Buttons on the website, something like that.
Yeah. Now, what's interesting about these, this is how your numbers will adjust, right? Because once you remove all of these bots that have 100% bounce rate, then you'll get a closer look at what your numbers really
are.
Your bounce rate will probably drop from 90% to probably 60% once you remove some of these filters.
Right.
Your time on site will likely go up from an average of 40 seconds to about an average of 2 minutes once you remove all of the zero times on site. So it's extremely important, especially if you're an agency watching right now, that you remove these filters just so you can have some accurate data to look at.
So step one, make sure you look at your data. Step two, make sure your data is right. And so, even if you're not an agency, you should be in there looking at the data.
Yeah.
And if you're looking at the wrong data, then you're wasting your time. So make sure you filter that. Hey, punch in the face to Marcus Fox. He actually hit us up on Facebook Live. Punch in the face to you,
Thank you,
Marcus,
for tuning in, man. Number three. Recent site updates. This is a good one. She says, if you recently modified your on-page copy, undergone a site overhaul like removing pages or reordering your navigation, or migrated your site redirects, it's reasonable to expect a decline in traffic. Absolutely right. It just happens.
If you do it wrong.
Even if you do it right, you may experience some sort of fluctuation. The key is making sure that you've done the best job, is what I added, of maintaining your target pages.
Yeah.
So figure out which pages do rank well, which pages do get the most traffic, and you make sure you monitor those. Keep that content the same. Don't change that URL. If you do, make sure you redirect it. That sort of deal. And so that way, as you make these site updates, because you should be making site updates, that you don't lose your ranking.
When you make a site update, one of the things that you want to do is make sure you're following your 404. So make sure you either have if you're in WordPress, you've got some sort of plugin. Mm-hmm. If you're looking at statistics, that you know what the 404s are, because if one of your major pages you've changed the URL and didn't get a proper 301 redirect or something, you want to see that list, and you can say, oh wow, I had 1,000 404s on this page. I need to get that properly 301 redirect.
Exactly, it's important that you do that. Number four.
Four.
URL confusion. I thought this was a good one. She says, here's an example of what URL confusion may look like. So, and she was giving an example. Let's say you were a baker, right? And you had a website. Mm-hmm. And you have mysite.com/cakes/raspberry chocolate cake, right? Or then you have mysite.com/flavors/chocolate raspberry cake.
Right.
Right. Two inverted pages, different categories. One is in the cakes category, the other is in the flavors category. Problem is, if that end up being the same content on the other side, then you have a problem. Yeah. Or even if it's not the same content, it's similar, but they're going after similar in the same type of phrases, then you got a problem. Which one is Google going to rank better?
Yeah.
Right. And so what you want to do, what I said, is make sure that you, if you do have similar content, make sure it's targeting different phrases. Right. Like in this particular example, one should have been targeting a chocolate raspberry cake, and the other one should have been targeting just chocolate and raspberry flavors.
Flavoring for cake.
For cake or for whatever else, right? And she would have identified that through some keywords and some supporting content. The key is, don't have that URL confusion, because not only does it confuse the search in regards to what to show, that user can get confused also.
Right.
Which page do I really need to be on? Is the recipe on this page or that page? Right, which is the right name for this type of cake. And so look at your content, make sure your URLs aren't confusing, and if you do have similar content, because you might, just like we have, for example, internet marketing content, online marketing content, digital marketing content,
website marketing content, all
similar but different. Right, so just take note of your content and make sure you're not confusing anyone.
Number five,
she gets into some advanced issues. Number five is structured data markup. Yep, you gotta have this. And we're talking 10 factors that may be impacting your organic traffic. In regards to structured data markup, she says, you should be monitoring the appearance of your rich snippets on a regular basis to ensure they're pulling in the correct information. Because as you change content on your website, this can alter the markup without warning. She's right. Check it. Update it frequently. And just at the very least, make sure you're using Schema for your NAP, right? Your name, your address, and your phone. Mark up your hours. Mark up any products. If you got the time and the resources, you want to mark up everything that you possibly can.
Yeah.
Menus, directions, all of the stuff that Schema will allow you to mark up using Schema, you should. Number six, promotional cadence and the sale hangover effect. This is an awesome one because I see this all the time with clients who may have a promotion. Right during the month of February, they had some Black History promotion or Valentine's promotion, whatever it is. And then come that time next year, they don't have it. And when you do a year-to-year comparison, you say,
you did
a huge promo. And that's why you had so much organic traffic, so much search, so much branded content, so much time on site. Well, because you had a promotion going on.
Right.
And so, matter of fact, she says, did you run a big promotion last year, such as a sample or flash sale? Did it coincide with the same week this year? If not, then your year-on-year comparison will be skewed.
It's totally skewed.
So here's a tip. Not even a pro tip, just kind of average tip. You should be doing it, but some people aren't.
Right.
We do it. Inside of Google Analytics, you can add a note. I add notes for everything.
Right.
New promo, that's going to be pretty big. Note, date that we launched it. Made a site change, that was pretty massive. Note analytics, the day that we did it. So that way, as you're looking at these reports and you begin to see spikes on different days, you can reference those notes that are already in analytics about what happened on said day. That way you can know, oh yeah, this was the special that we did, or we added this new blog post at this time, or we added our e-commerce capabilities at this time, or whatever it is. You need to notate it. Now, having correct data is extremely important. Number seven. This is a good one too. She says price point and product depth. And she's talking about things that impact your organic ranking. How would your price point and your product depth impact your organic ranking, right? She says you identified your sweet spot in the marketplace, and you know that charging above this threshold leads to price sensitivity, right? So what she's talking about is, let's say you have products and everybody knows these products cost $10.
Right.
And so you got it on your site at $9.50, and that's doing well for you.
Right.
But the minute you change that to $11, your ranking drops, your interest drops, your buzz drops, people stop coming to your site. Price point, and then product depth. Maybe your product just isn't popular anymore.
Isn't new enough.
Yeah. Maybe you were ranking well for hoverboards.
Right.
Right? And then an article came out about how they all blow up, they all catch on fire, and now nobody wants one because they're not safe.
Right.
Yeah, your ranking is probably going to drop for hoverboards because there's not much search activity and they've become dangerous, right? And so you just have to be aware of your products and your prices.
Yeah, interesting, because I know Google's algorithm caught this in real time, but there's a point where when people are searching for a hoverboard, they're actually searching to buy them.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a point where they switch to, okay, now I'm so first is research, do they exist? Now I've seen them at the airport, I want one. So it's gone to a sale search. Mm-hmm. And then it's okay, they blow up. So now I don't want to buy one, I want to research and read articles about how they blow up. Mm-hmm. And so the intent
and which ones blow up. It may still be a sales search, but now I'm more interested in which ones blow up versus ones. Exactly.
Yeah. And so a lot more research. So Google will be adjusting what it displays based on
current events, what's happening right now, on search intent.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm. Number eight. She talked about uncontrollable factors. So number eight is being outranked by resellers or affiliates. She said this is typically a non-issue until, of course, your resellers start to outrank you for branded terms. Right, so let's say you sell candles,
right,
and you're selling candles for a company called Goose Creek Candles. They have great candles,
punch
by the way. Punch in the face to Goose Creek
Jordan.
Candles, Jordan Meese. Yeah, so punch in the face to you guys. But let's say you're selling candles, and then let's say Goose Creek decides to have an affiliate program and let people sell them for them, and then they begin to outrank them for Goose Creek candles.
Right.
And that's a problem. Or give you a better example. What if Joe Blow car lot down the street began to outrank Toyota for a Toyota Camry?
That's a problem.
Right? And so consider that. Maybe you sell insurance, and Joe Blow insurance company begins to outrank Geico.
Right.
For a Geico branded search. Probably won't happen, but just an example.
Yeah. The Lizard, I hear, is a very good SEOer.
The point is, these uncontrollable factors can happen, especially in the private sector, especially in a smaller business where you're not necessarily dealing with that big brand, but you maybe carry products similar to some of your competitors, then they could begin to outrank you for that. Or what she did mention was from a pay perspective. We purposely bid it on competitor terms.
Yeah.
And so we literally outrank you.
Yeah. In that ad section.
In that ad section. And by design. Won't mention no names there. Number nine. New Google ad placement. This is referring to a recent algorithm update. Remember the whole right side left. She said many brands may be seeing more of their direct traffic being cannibalized by paid search ads. She's absolutely right, because Google removed the whole right side of the ad. So that was like 8 ad spaces gone. And so what does that mean? That means we're going to add one more at the top, add one more at the bottom, and so now that and squeeze your natural listings in between those locals and those ads. Yeah, just being cannibalized is the word she used. You're just not being seen as much. Ain't nothing you can do about that but bid on your own brand and take advantage of those paid ads.
Absolutely.
Number 10, her last one. And matter of fact, I wrote down include paid in your strategy. Number 10.
Absolutely.
She says industry trends and waning brand interests. Right. She goes on to say that very few industries are recession proof and experience an inelastic product demand. And she's absolutely right. Like some things just aren't cool. Some things
closed,
the people the way they search just ain't the way they search anymore. So for example, the MeFlow example we gave earlier is an example of this.
Right.
Right. If you were optimized for, let's say, AC repair. Or AC replacement or whatever it is, and that's what you were optimized for, and that's what all your content was for, and then the industry shifted to HVAC.
Here's an idea. A seasonal change could do that.
A seasonal change could definitely do that. You're ranking well for everything Valentine's, and now it's Easter.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't have any Easter content prepared, any Easter content published, any Easter content available, then your rank is going to drop.
Yeah, it's going to drop.
It's just going to happen. So seasonal one, that's a good one. That's probably our pro tip. But the key is industry can change, right? And all of these things are different things that could be affecting how your organic ranking is happening. The key is to make sure and to monitor that. The big point she had in here was the analytics. Analytics is kind of the theme throughout all of this, is understanding what that traffic is doing. Is it getting better? Is it getting worse? Where is it coming from? What is it doing when it gets to your site? That's what you need to know, and that way you can make the right adjustments.
Punch in the face
to you, Stephanie LeVon. She says 10 factors that may be impacting your organic traffic. A great article. I'll share this on Facebook a little later.
All right, do we have any what news?
We do have some what news. We do have some what news.
What
news?
Yeah, that was good.
This news here, I almost could have called it the blues. What blue? So Microsoft is cutting an additional 2,850 jobs That's like almost 3,000 jobs. As it curtails its smartphone efforts and restructures its sales force. So 900 of those workers already been notified. So what about like the other 1,900 though? Is it going to be a surprise to them, Microsoft? Or are they going to show up to work and be like, hey, here go your last check, dog. You know what I'm saying? Well, like,
how's that gonna wait work? For Christmas.
They're going to wait for Christmas. look here, they said, hold on. The new cuts were disclosed on the annual report Thursday, come off of the 1850 layoffs announced in May as the company retreated from the phone business. At this point, Microsoft has essentially shed nearly of all the Nokia mobile phone business that it acquired back in April 2014 for $7.2 billion.
Wow.
So what kind of $7.2 billion? So literally, just yeah. Consider the purchasing decisions, yeah. Right? So Microsoft bought Nokia for $7.2 billion only to realize 2 years later that we're not going to be good in the mobile field. Let's fire everybody and just take that L. Meanwhile, Verizon just bought Yahoo for $5 billion.
Yeah.
Just looking at the numbers.
Seems smart.
Very smart, don't it?
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Kudos to you, Yahoo, and Verizon. And yeah, this blank stare is well deserved. Microsoft, Nokia, y'all took too long to get into the smartphone business, is what that bill boiled down to.
Yep. Hey, so if you like this podcast, and we hope you do, we get a lot of good reviews, we're going to ask you to tell three people about that podcast right now.
Yeah, just go ahead. You can tweet that. You can share it on Facebook. If you're watching live, just go ahead and hit the share button and tag those three people in it.
Copy the URL. If you're on Facebook, just share it.
Just hit share, tag three people. That's sufficient. You're on Twitter right now. Go and tag three people in it and just share it.
Just share it. We're still waiting. Just three more.
Just
three. All right. Hopefully you guys can help us out with that, trying to grow our listener base. Listen, if you're looking to grow your business with the largest, simplest marketing tool on the planet,
the internet,
call eWeb Results for increased profit in your business. Our phone number is 713-592-6724. If you have a referral, so that's somebody who's interested in any aspect of internet marketing, you send them to us. They pay their bill. We pay you. We have a referral strategy in place. Remember, I'm also doing networking here in Houston, so I know there's at least one person who's on Facebook Live. Chad, anybody else who's listening to this podcast, you need to check out Up Social Network. You've never seen anything like it before. We're about to have a commercial on TV for the networking group.
And
Nolan did a fabulous job. The last question is, to prove that we're the future of networking, when have you ever seen a networking commercial?
Video.
Yeah. So check that out, Up Social Network. We're currently meeting four times in Houston, four times per month. That's on Thursday mornings. Remember, we were filmed live here at 5999 West 34th Street, Houston, Texas, 77092. If you want a transcript or the video or the audio of this podcast, you can find it at ewebresults.com. I think that's it. Hey, you guys have made us the most popular internet marketing podcast on iTunes. Thank you. We salute you. We celebrate you. We're excited that you're joining us. We appreciate you.
Yep.
Until the next podcast, my name's Chris Burris.
I'm Charles Lewis.
Bye-bye for now.
Slightly raised up eyebrow, highbrow. Tamely, gamely, headed my way. Cool as mountain snow, girl, glow. She's gonna set me free. In my daydream, she's my fantasy. If I find her, I'll die happily.
Balance check, balance check. 3, 3, 2.
SEO Podcast 332. Tune in the eWeb crew for something new. Chris and Chuck, and you know we about to turn it up on the inside, cause outside burning up. Hold up, man. SEO Podcast 332. Let's go.
Boom.